The following programming is sponsored by Thomas Tool III. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Good afternoon, Greater Philadelphia area. This is Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. She's going to Barbados tomorrow. Very exciting. Happy Thanksgiving to the Timon Hogue family. And we are covering a ton of stuff today. This is a jam-packed Thanksgiving episode. We're going to end with Turkey of the Year, so you'll want to stay tuned for that. We've also got information about this DOJ opinion that was filed Sunday night. This felt like one of those midnight pardons with the NAR settlement. It's supposed to be approved today. I haven't seen anything yet, so we'll see if that breaks on the show. And first, we're going to be talking about how rising mortgage rates and revised mortgage rate projections are affecting demand. So if you like what you hear, you get some value out of this, make sure to subscribe to the channel, hit the bell for notifications, and if you want to schedule a call with our team and this woman in particular who knows her stuff, you can do that with the link in the comments. So, Sarah, we've got mortgage rates settling in around 7, and what we've seen happen is that there's a question or there's a thought out there like supply and demand, right? So rates go up, demand's going to go down because pricing is going up. However, in the 6 weeks that we've seen since rates jumped up back close to 7, we've had 3 negative prints and 3 positive prints. So what that means is we've seen 3 weeks where mortgage applications have gone up, 3 where they've gone down. So it's basically flat, which tells me demand hasn't tailed off. What's your observation being in the market, talking to people every day?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's kind of always the same. Like for motivated people, the interest rates, I mean, it's obviously going to be a factor, but that's not going to stop somebody from doing anything. And, you know, I always encourage anybody that I'm working with, like on the buy side, to, you know, get with the lender early and start, you know, talking about options early, because sometimes there's things that you can do that can improve your credit, which then can affect your interest rate. And getting those things done can sometimes take a bit of time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know I was just talking to my cousin the other week. It wasn't her, but there was like a $39 Comcast bill from like several years ago that like wasn't hers, but was on her, and they're like trying to buy a house. And
hopefully they're using you.
Well, they're in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But they, she had to like hire a company to try and like get, because she tried to resolve it on her own.
Yeah.
So, like, basically just like things can take time, but get in early and just figure out what your scenario is so that when the right home comes up, you're able to kind of jump on it.
Well, and I think that's a great point, that you want to be prepared. And this time of year, the mistake that folks make time and time again is they call me in the spring and then they wait until like they see a home that they like instead of moving on it. This indicator around demand tells me that if you're thinking about transacting in the next, let's call it 90 days to 18 months, I'd be preparing now because there's going to be competition. And the certainty that we're seeing in the market right now because the election is over, and the fact that we're seeing a couple other things happen, which we'll get into. I mean, rates are stabilizing. We know prices are projected to go up. This is going to be the market that we're in. And, you know, if I'm a buyer, and I think this is where your cousin's getting good counsel, probably because she's talking to you, that they're looking at homes now because there's some opportunity in the marketplace now, mm-hmm. versus where the market's going to be even in like January or February. So that I mean, are you feeling the demand? Like, are you seeing that in the marketplace? This is one of the busier pre-Thanksgiving, you know, couple of days I remember in a long time, short of the pandemic. What are you seeing on the ground?
Yeah. You know, I feel like in previous years, sometimes people were already checking out. I've had a busy, like the last week or two, I've been pretty busy with showings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also with trying to get people out to see things before I leave for a week for vacation.
Yes. Well-deserved vacation.
But yeah, I mean, there's activity. There's homes that we are, I know there was like one that we wanted to get in that I wanted to take a client through earlier this week. They already had multiple offers and we're shutting it down. So people are out there.
Well, and that's really the, you got to be careful who you listen to, because I can't tell you how many agents say, oh, it's slow right now. And I'm like, I don't know what market you're working in. Maybe you need to work on your business, which we'll talk about later, you know, later in the show. And we always talk about, I think you can control that pretty easily. And what we're seeing is that, you know, buyers seem to be okay with where rates are coming in. I mean, the MBA, the Mortgage Bankers Association, they just revised their mortgage rate forecasts for next year. And most of the forecasts were coming in like 5.5% to 6.5%. So their forecast initially was in Q1 of 2025, they're seeing rates are going to be at 6.6%. Okay. In Q4 of 2026, they've got them coming in around like 6.3%. So they're not seeing much relief when it comes to that. And, you know, that includes some other changes in housing activity that would be affected by higher mortgage rates. They're talking about mortgage origination volume, and they're talking about forecasted home sales. So they're forecasting 4.25 million home sales next year. We're seeing similar numbers across the board. If rates stay at this mid-six, low-six level, do you think that's going to tamp down demand, Sarah?
No. I think that when they are stable and when they're not fluctuating a lot, people get used to them. it's one of those things where if they're changing every week, and you're kind of uncertain about, well, if I put something in this week, or if I put an offer in this week, am I going to regret it next week if they drop? And that kind of makes people, almost gives them like a freeze effect where they're kind of scared to move forward and do anything. When they're pretty stable, even if it's a higher number than what you would ideally like, I feel like people mm-hmm. get used to them. And as long as it's a six and it's not a seven, I feel like that crossing from the sixes into the sevens is what really turns people off.
That I agree with. It's a mental thing. I mean, even like 6.875 makes people feel better, even mm-hmm. though the change in payment, it depends on the mortgage amount and some other factors. It's not anything drastic. And, you know, what we're, you know, seeing is, and I think it's really going to be interesting to see what happens with the labor market. I know there's labor data coming out here soon, and if that softens, I'm clear we could see rates come down a little bit. But if that remains strong, I mean, remember, we're seeing pretty strong demand when it comes to, I shouldn't say demand. We're seeing pretty strong unemployment numbers where it's low. We're seeing a lot of jobs getting added. If that continues and the labor market remains strong, remember that the Fed's got a dual mandate. They got to bring the labor market down, right? And they also need they want maximum employment, and they want price stability. That's the dual mandate. So with this dual mandate, while we're seeing that inflation's gotten closer to 2%, I don't know that it's quite there yet, but we've also seen that there's a lot of employment going on, and according to the unemployment numbers that we've seen it slip back to like 4.1% in October. If that number stays and holds, then I don't know that we're gonna see much. And as it stands right now, you know, the 4.1% is within the dual mandate. They have a bullseye that they developed. I don't know if you've seen this. So they have like unemployment, core inflation. There's like this bullseye here with the inflation rate at 2.6%. It's just outside of the Fed's dual mandate. And regionally, the unemployment rate is below 5%. And the rule of thumb is for full employment in 46 states, that you want to see unemployment to be below 5%. So there's a couple of states that are outliers there, but that's really about it. So do you see a lot of jobs getting added? Like, what do you think is going to happen with jobs with this next report that comes out? Because the past couple months, they far exceeded expectations.
I'm not sure. A lot of the job market stuff goes a little bit over my head.
That's a very honest answer. I think it goes over a lot of people's heads for sure.
So, it's always interesting hearing when the reports come out, how that does, you know, trickle down and affect things in different areas. But as far as what I would predict to happen, I have no idea.
So that's why I love having you on the show, because it's a very honest and real answer. And with this, you know, the problem with these jobs numbers is that they revise them all the time, right? I mean, you see a 30% plus revision in the month of August, and the Federal Reserve is using that to make decisions. I mean, that's a little reckless to me. That's a big mark. Imagine if you got a seller's price wrong by 30%. How would that go for you?
Not well. Not well at all.
They'd be ticked off, right?
Yeah.
So, So you have that 30% margin of error, and that's going to be something that you want to kind of look at. I went on the NerdWallet to kind of break this down for people in a way that's going to make sense. So the unemployment rate, like I said, it stayed steady at 4.1% from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics. Job claims came in far below projections for October, but they also exceeded them the previous month. So these numbers are like all over the place. And the next four-week moving average, which is a measurement of the number of people who filed for unemployment for the first time over the last 4 weeks, so that was 217,000, which is 3,750 lower than the previous week. So we're seeing those numbers come down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think what's going to be interesting is you also got like seasonal jobs getting added this time of year. And, you know, they look at really like the non-farm jobs that were added. I mean, it was 12,000 in October. It was 223,000 in September, 78,000 in August. So these numbers are all over the place. I don't think we're really going to know the numbers.
Right.
And but the number's going to dictate what the Fed does. So that's like the challenge here. So I think that this jobs data gets a little funky. So I you know, probably the bigger question is, like, how do we get lower rates? Right? Like, I mean, so what's your thought on that?
You mean like what can individuals do to get lower rates, or how
should answer that first, and then we can talk about what's going to happen with the market. So you're talking to a buyer and they're saying, "Hey Sarah, we want to buy right now. We need a lower rate." Like what options are you giving them?
So, you know, if they're able to like buy some points and reduce their monthly payment that way, that's always an option. Talking to the lender about some of the different programs out there that will, you know, incentivize. I forget the name of what is the one that you get like a second mortgage that over the course of 10 years, if you stay there the full time, you
don't have to pay it back. So it's the KFIT program, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So looking into, yeah, just different options that your lender can kind of help you with for how to bring down the payment. And then for what you can do on your own, this doesn't really help you if you need to move right now. But, you know, making sure that you're doing everything you can to keep your credit
smart
where it needs to be. If there's anything that you can do to improve it, maybe talking to an expert for prioritizing, like if you do have bills and like things have kind of piled up, like what to do first so that you have a plan in place to do everything that you can to help yourself out.
That is such an important point. I really want everyone to listen to this, that you've got to prep. And most people, they don't really look at their credit religiously, right? You talked about what happened with your cousin for some $39 Comcast nonsense, not even hers.
Yeah.
That can stop you from buying a home.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it did.
Legitimately. And there's also, you get better rates if your score's a little higher. Like if you're at like a 720 plus versus a 7 to 720, the rates can tier a little bit.
Right.
Especially if you're like a jumbo loan customer. So the preparation right now, if you're thinking about buying a home anytime over the next 9 to 12 months, I would be like getting your ducks in a row now, because one, we know inventory is tight. Oh, it's growing. It's up, 11, 12% year over year. You got to be ready when that house comes on the market.
Right. And with a lot of the credit stuff, like that's something that it doesn't just change immediately.
Exactly.
Like a lot of the stuff takes a lot of time. So I feel like people are really hesitant to want to check their credit or figure out what they qualify for until they're like, oh, it's still so far out. We're just starting to think about it. Like, no, do it early so that you can figure out if there's anything that's going to jam it up later.
I think that's really well said, because I've seen that, like it you talked about one instance. There's many instances where this happens, and that's really good advice. And from a market standpoint, like if you're holding out for lower rates, so there's some things you can do, like it's going to cost you some money, right? That's basically what we're talking about here on some level. In terms of the path to lower rates, there's a couple ways that improves. One is that the spread from the 10-year and the 30-year's got to improve. So it's gotten better this year, meaning that normally there's a delta there. And if you look at where the spread is, and this may go above a couple people's heads, so I want to kind of explain this. So right now we're seeing the 10-year yield is coming in around like 4.4 is basically where that comes in. And then typically spreads, you know, there's a spread between that and where rates are coming in. So spreads have worsened since mortgage rates started rising slightly in September, but they remain far better than the peak levels from last year. So if spreads were as high as they were last year, mortgage rates would be 0.68% higher.
Wow.
So that's like 7.75%, 7.625%. We're talking about 7 5/8 to 7 3/4. Now, if we had average spreads, mortgage rates would be lower by 3/4 to 0.0. If spreads were average, they would be 0.75 to 0.85% better. So like 6 1/4.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that, and that has to do with the volatility in the market. So, and that's not something anyone can fix, but that's right. The path here, that we need some stability in the market versus this wild ride we've been on over the past 24 months. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
So where we wrap this up here, I mean, we see people projecting higher rates. I don't know that any of these projections make any sense right now until we see what the Fed does in December. What advice do you have for folks confused about rates right now? Because you get this question like,
right.
like daily, right?
Yeah.
So do I.
I mean, I always advise talk to the lender. But then also kind of figuring out where is it that you would expect, like where do the rates need to be for you to want to move forward with something? And then doing cost sheets and showing like, hey, like this is, you know, if what if we're able to negotiate a better price on this, even with the higher rate that you're basically your monthly payment is where you need it to be. Because you always have to bring it down to the back to the monthly payment.
100%. I think that's exactly what you want to look at. So think about payment. Think about what a home purchase is going to do for your family or your household. Like those are the reasons to make a move. The rates are going to be where they are. And if they come down, it's a great opportunity to refinance.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about the DOJ opinion for the Sitzer-Burnett settlement that is supposed to be getting approved today. I've heard it's a done deal from some sources. I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to this commission stuff. We'll break that down next on Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.
For the best local mortgage service and great rates on your money, look no further than Mortgage America. We've been operating in the greater Philadelphia area for 40 years with a focus on smooth, easy access to home purchasing. Whether you're a first-time buyer, upsizing or downsizing, or just refinancing, we have programs for you. We also have closing cost assistance programs and access to subsidized interest rates. Pre-approval is free, no costs or commitments. To learn more, visit our website at mymortgageamerica.com. Or give us a call at 610-439-8000. We always have a person available to take your call with around-the-clock human service. Purchase your home with the personalized, local service you find at Mortgage America.
Mortgage America is an equal housing lender. NMLS 128501.
The Tom Tool Sales Group is the number one REMAX team in Pennsylvania with over $165 million in volume for 2021. I'm Tom Tool, and our team has achieved that kind of success by being a great place to work with and to work for. No one knows Greater Philly better than we do. We know real estate, but more importantly, we're real people. We hire the best agents and we give them all the tools to succeed. Even our brand new agents sell 17 to 24 homes a year because our team delivers the best experience in real estate. Teams deliver a better experience than individuals, and we're a top 1% real estate team in the country. We call it AAA service. We're your advocate, ally, and advisor. Because this isn't a transaction to us. It's a relationship. If you're buying or selling a home, call the Tom Tool Sales Group at REMAX main line at 610-692-6976 or visit TomTool.com. That's Tom, Tool with an E, .com. Sell your home for more and remember the real estate golden rule. You always get more when you work with Tom Tool.
When you're getting a mortgage, you shouldn't have to sacrifice great service just to get a great rate. At Mortgage America, we've been lending with this philosophy for over 35 years. We have access to great low rates without the complications and delays of big or online banks. We're a local Pennsylvania lender with loan officers that you can actually meet. As PHFA's number one lender, we specialize in all residential mortgage programs, including first-time buyer programs and low down payment options. For your free pre-approval, call us at 610-439-8000 or apply online at mymortgageamerica.com.
Mortgage America is equal housing lender, NMLS 1.
Have you considered a career in real estate? Do you want control over your income? Whether you have a license or not, call us today at 610-692-6976 or visit TomTool.com. Join our team, the Tom Tool Sales Group at REMAX Mainline.
All right, welcome back to Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. We both work at the Tom Tool Sales Group at REMAX Mainline, the number one REMAX team in Pennsylvania since 2018. We are talking about the DOJ Sunday filing, which is, this is like one of those like last minute things that comes in. It's like when you drop your tax return off and it's like 11:59 and the postman's outside of the post office. It's that kind of play by the DOJ. We're also going to go over Turkey of the Year at the end when it comes to real estate and other places. So if you get some value out of this, you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the channel, hit some bell for notifications. And if you want to schedule a call with Sarah from our team to talk about your real estate needs, you can do that with the link in the comments. So the DOJ on Sunday. So we know that today is the day that the maybe I should back up here, Sarah. So today's the day that of the final hearing for the $418 million NAR settlement with home sellers in the Sitzer Burnett case. No news yet if it's been approved. Most people are saying it's going to be approved. No one really knows. I don't buy it until it's done. Yeah. Let's assume that was what was going to be the case. So Sunday night, and this was like during the Eagles game on Sunday night. That's how late this came out. So yeah. On Sunday night, the U.S. Department of Justice, the DOJ, weighed in on the NAR settlement to settle commission's lawsuits. And here was the warning. I'm just going to read this. I want to get your reaction. So they said the settlement does not address whether the proposed settlement prevents and restrains current antitrust violations, remedies past violations, or contains revised policies and practices that comply with the antitrust laws. The agency also raised a concern about buyer-agent agreements, saying the provision that requires buyers and brokers to make written agreements before home tours may harm buyers and limit how brokers compete for clients. It bears close resemblance to prior restrictions among competitors that courts have found to violate the antitrust laws and other proceedings and could limit, rather than enhance, competition for buyers among buyer brokers. Alternatively, the court could not clarify that the approval of the settlement affords no immunity of defense for the buyer agent provision. So some strong language here from our friends at the DOJ. What do you think about this? Just reading this, knowing how much we've talked about it, what's your reaction?
So I guess for the first part of it, so there, the DOJ is not agreeing with basically anything. Is that right?
Kind of, yeah. Right? I mean, they're basically saying that doesn't address all the antitrust concerns. Mm-hmm. It's not going to grant immunity to people that were part of the settlement in case there's further antitrust lawsuits, which is kind of nonsense because you can't settle a suit and they're like, we're gonna try this again. Like they want to keep coming, is what it sounds yeah. like. And then you've got, they also don't believe that the new provision where buyers and buyer agents need to have agreements in place to go tour homes. They don't think that's good, which duh. I think a lot of people have said that.
Right. Right.
So yeah, they don't really agree with a lot.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, with the buyer, agent agreements, I guess, unless if you do all states and do all brokerages offer the non-exclusive,
I would imagine most
specific.
Of them do. Yeah. Like, I mean, Zillow's got a touring agreement.
Yeah.
A good agent and a good brokerage should be doing that.
Right.
Let's
right.
put it that way.
Because, I mean, I guess my advice to kind of prevent issues down the line, if you're meeting an agent for the first time when you're going in, is like, do the property specific so that you're not locked with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do need to find the right agent that's going to work hard and work with you. And, you know, some people want a ton of information. Others are kind of just give me like the bullet points. Like you mm-hmm. need to find somebody that's going to mesh well with you. If you do the buyer agent exclusive agreement for a year, let's say, and either, you know, just communication's bad or something gets messed up or for whatever reason you want to work with a different agent, you may have some trouble getting out of that. And, you know, you don't want that to happen.
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly the problem. And you know, I clients are going to make and consumers are going to make a decision on this. And there's times when the exclusive is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
There's other times when it's not. You know, yeah. when you're first meeting somebody,
right.
I'm a big believer that the non-exclusive is a great tool to be compliant.
Right.
And to give them options, which mm-hmm. is what great salespeople do. The flip side is if I'm a salesperson and I'm showing people homes regularly and spending a lot of time with them.
I want the exclusive.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, hey, look, I'm giving you my time and my expertise. I need a commitment from you.
Right.
That's something we coached on way before this settlement happened. We called it like the loyalty talk after you met someone a couple times and you actually get them down that road, because a lot of agents would get burned if they didn't bring it up.
Right.
So that makes sense.
I agree with, yes, like ultimately as an agent, I want the exclusive. Like I want you to say I'm working with you. But I think to get to that point, you need to first show them that you're going to do the work and that you deserve the business. So like I have no problem doing a non-exclusive for people that I'm just meeting with, you know, for the first couple times here until we like get going.
Yeah, agreed. And I mean, that's a good business practice. Like that's anybody. That's, you know, I mean, you have like an insurance adjuster, an attorney, whatever. The bigger picture here is what, you know, you got a couple things happening. One, the DOJ's on their way out. And the previous DOJ, they had a settlement approved with NAR, and then this DOJ repealed it. So what I see is that the DOJ has targeted NAR at this point. They're coming after them, and they don't like what came out of this settlement. What I also imagine will happen, the settlement gets approved. I think that's going to happen today. We'll get some news that happens. There's going to be more lawsuits, and I'm clear there's going to be an adjustment on how these buyer agencies' agreements are handled, because it is ridiculous, and like it would rub me the wrong way. Hey, you want to come? I don't like, let's go look at this car, right? Like, well, then hey, in order for you to look at this, test drive this car, Sarah, you got to sign a contract with me that I'm making money no matter what car you buy, wherever it is, You meet the person and you think they're an idiot or they're a jerk or they're you don't get along with them. That's the challenge here, and I understand it, and I think it's a pretty fair observation by the DOJ. Mm-hmm. I mean, we comply with the rule because we have to.
Right.
Doesn't mean I like it.
Right.
So, you know, what do you think? So, what's your anticipation of today? What happens? Is this going to get approved? Like, where does it go? Tell me more about your observations.
I think it probably is going to get approved today. But I think it's going to be one of those things where it's not over. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to be continuing to talk about all of this for the foreseeable future. I feel like everything moves in little steps and, you know, you get one step ahead and then you kind of backtrack a bit. So I think while there will be a decision made today, it doesn't mean it's done.
Excuse me. I agree with that. And, you know, when you look at some of the opinions other people are coming out with, I mean, this all happened over the past couple of days. Notorious Rob, he's got a great blog on Substack, although that is one of the most frustrating apps to try to read something on. I don't know if you tried this. I tried logging in 15 times this morning. I still can't get on to read his article there, which is frustrating. He's pretty clear that the DOJ is coming after NAR, which I agree with. I mean, I don't they have a problem with them. They've been targeted. And this also feels like one of those like midnight pardons from the president when they're going out of office. Like it's like, all right, well, we got one last shot at this here. Mm-hmm. Let's close out some business or settle some scores or whatever's going to happen. I mean, I unfortunately believe that's what's going on here. And when you go through this a little further, I mean, some of the opinions that are out there, there's an attorney. Her name is Tanya. I'm going to butcher this, Monestier, and she's been vocal about the industry practice changes and even filed a lengthy objection to the settlement in October. She said she didn't see this coming. She's a professor of law. The DOJ filed that statement. It's not as detailed as the one in Nozalek, but it complains about it identifies compliance with the NAR settlement does not insulate anyone from antitrust actions from the DOJ, which, you know, that's a concern. They're spending all this money and you still get subject to antitrust stuff.
Right.
And then the buyer agent requirement is, you know, again, a lot of people have an issue with that, which I don't think agents had an issue with. That was the biggest concern about all this stuff that came out of this. So that's one opinion. We've got other folks that are believing there's going to be more lawsuits, like you said. And there was even one filed today with from a Texas broker, and they're filing a suit over NAR's three-way agreement where you got to have the force membership. So I think it's the bigger issue the DOJ has more than anything else, even though it wasn't brought up here.
Yeah.
So I do agree. I believe this settles today, And what I'm also clear on is this is not the end of this by far. And I think we're going to, you know, just like everything, we're going to have to keep adjusting here. I mean, there's already been a lot of adjustments to this stuff here. So, I mean, just think about a buyer. They can't go look at a house without having to hire somebody. Like, I mean, that's just
right.
It's or engage them on some level. I mean, that is a challenge. So, you know, it almost is the opposite of the, it's like, hey, you have to go work with this person.
Right, right.
Now you can negotiate with them and do all that stuff, but this is going to keep going.
Yeah. It also, like, you know, like a lot of times with, especially when you're meeting somebody for the first time, like anything can scare them, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're very easily just like, never mind, I shouldn't have called. I don't need to buy a house. I didn't mean it, you know?
Yes.
Like, never mind. And when you start throwing so many things at them, like it's really easy for them to just be like, you know, nope, not doing this. Mm-hmm. So you have to be kind of tactical about how you bring up the changes and what the you know, what you have to do to stay compliant, to keep them from just like freaking out.
Well, and again, I mean, people are just, they're just trying to look at a house.
Right.
And most consumers don't know anything about real estate. This is documented over time. I mean, think about some of the most sophisticated people you've worked with. When it comes to real estate, they have no idea mm-hmm. how it works. And it's no different than like doing your taxes, right? If you don't know anything about your taxes, there's many disciplines like this. And when you do that with people, and that's why the scripting is so important about this, because if you don't know how to bring this up in a nice way that's not going to scare people off, you're going to lose a lot of business. Mm-hmm. I've seen people say things like, hey, you need to call me back right away. Like stuff like, you need to call me before the showing because we get like those tour requests that come in. It's there's a way to do this. You got to know what to say.
Right, right. And then I guess also always have your printed copies of everything with you so that if you're not able get the electronic ones prior to, you know, at least you can do it in the driveway.
I've written agreements of sale in the driveway before, just like fill in the blank a contract. So that's what we have here. So I think that's a smart thing to do. And, you know, when you're preparing for this stuff, I mean, we've role played it a lot. Mm-hmm. You've got the script down. How often did you have to practice that to really get it down? Not just like on like our calls and stuff, but like how much time did you really spend like looking at it and like internalizing it? And you're also very coachable and don't try to make it like, don't try to ad lib and wing it. So
right,
that helps.
Right.
But it, there probably was a learning curve here, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to think how long it took to really like get it down and to, you know, be able to just do it like second nature, because a lot of times when you're having these calls or these conversations with a client, it's not always when you're just like sitting in a quiet room in front of your computer with you know, you're driving, you've got kids in the background, you've got you know, you're in the middle of doing like eight other things. So you have to be able to have that conversation, you know, effectively in all different types of settings. And I think that took a little bit more, 'cause like I knew what to say and how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're juggling a bunch of stuff, like you almost want to just like rush through it sometimes, or just be like, oh, by the way, there's forms, I'm getting them out of here, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to like keep yourself like, hey, well, I've had this conversation, you know, 500 times.
Yeah.
They have not. So like take the time to explain.
Well, and what you're talking about there is that's different levels of mastery. And I don't think people really understand this, because really there's like five levels of accountability or mastery. It starts with like that you don't know what you don't know, right? Nobody knew anything about this. And then you start to know what you don't know. And what came out, and we had like a Slack channel dedicated to this. Like a lot of people just had these ideas in their head that were way off base, and they didn't, and then they started to realize they know what they don't know now. They had to read through it. They had to understand the new contracts. Then there's consciously competent. That's what you're talking about, where like you got to think, you know what to say, but you really got to like think about it while you're doing it, and maybe slow down a little bit and say, oh, I forgot this part, I've got to mention this. And then ultimately where you want to get to is level four, which is unconsciously competent. So like muscle memory. So you can have that conversation no matter where you are. You know what to say. You can slow it down. And that's where a lot of people, the gap is. They kind of just learn it once and they never go back and like reinspect or really try to think about it. So that the fact that you described it that way, like that's really important, because you don't know when you're having these calls. Sometimes they call you back and your kid's yelling in the background.
Yep.
The dog's barking, right? This happened on one of our role play calls, actually. I remember Lou was barking. My kids always, when I pick up the phone, it's like a magnet for my children to come into my office. And they're like, hey, dad. And I'm like, you didn't talk to me for the last 2 hours.
Right. And they can tell. They're like, ooh.
it's a real thing. So it's so important to be able to get to that unconsciously competent level. And if you can do that, you're going to be fine with all this stuff. So summing this up here, we're in agreement. This gets approved today. Mm-hmm. Remember, this judge also approved the REMAX and KW settlements as well. So, I mean, that's already happened. Do you think agents know this isn't finalized? Like, legit, not you, and maybe not people on our team, because we talk about it all the time, but, like, your average agent, what do you think?
Probably not.
I agree. I think people think this is a done deal. Like, and this is going to be shocking when things change again. Were you at the meeting we had with the brokerage versus our team?
Yeah.
So what does that smile mean? Tell me more about your reaction there, because I think that was eye-opening to a lot of people.
Well, I mean, I feel like if I'm thinking of the correct thing,
you're
like a seasoned.
Think got Thanksgiving on the mind.
Agent. I feel like said something that is literally one of the things that we bring up in role play for like when you get this objection, and like that is not the case. Being able to kind of break it down and explain, you know, why the housing market is not a bubble that's about to burst. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, no, I think prices are going down. And
right, yeah, something that it was just like, what?
that was a tough pill to swallow, because I'm running this meeting and I'm usually direct. I mean, you tell me if I'm not direct, but I was like, yeah, not happening, and just moved on. Yeah. Like I shut that down immediately. But
right.
I think what surprised me from that meeting is the lack of preparation from agents that, like, this has not been a surprise. This is coming. And most agents think this is done. I mean, it's likely going to pass. I'd be more surprised if it doesn't get approved.
Right.
What's going to happen here, though, if the DOJ is sticking their nose into this, and we'll have to see what the next DOJ looks like, because that's we've been through this before, where the first time in history they've gone back on a signed agreement. So, and it was this same time 4 years ago the new president's previous DOJ he appointed, all very confusing. I think we know what we're talking about there. I'm clear that there's going to be some more changes here to how this gets handled if the DOJ is sticking their nose into this. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I do agree with what the DOJ is saying, because you know not every agent's offering a non-exclusive option.
Right, right. And, you know, if you want to, as a just individual, like if you're, they're probably not keeping up with, like maybe they see some headlines, but like, you know, if there's a house that pops up that you really want to get into and you're motivated, like you may not think to ask for, like somebody may only present you with the exclusive for a long length of time and then just be like, and that's what you got to do to get in. And people may sign it, you know, well, like they don't know to say like, you know, no.
Well, and I mean, I've sold hundreds of expired listings. So I've got probably a better perspective on this than most. Most people don't know what they're getting into the first time.
Right.
Then they're a lot more cautious. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the good news is I know how to help people get their home sold. The track record for our team speaks for itself. But that's not usually how it goes, right?
Right.
And you know, just think about if you weren't in real estate and you were like looking at a house. I mean, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Like, let's whatever we got to do. Like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. We'll break it down. Are you back next week? Are you still away?
I'm still away next week.
All right. So I'll break it down next week. I'll be here. Sarah's going to be having some fun in the sun. This likely gets... I'm sure you can't wait to get out of this radio show. So this likely gets approved. We'll explain what that means next week when we come back. So we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to close with my favorite segment we do on the show every year, Turkeys of the Year. And we'll define what that means next on Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.
You shouldn't have to deal with all the red tape when getting your mortgage from a big or online bank. At Mortgage America, we have access to big bank money, but with the personalized and detailed service of a local bank. We are here in your community and ready to serve with fast settlements, low down payment options, and first-time home buyer programs. Pre-approval is free, no costs or commitments. For more information, visit our website at mymortgageamerica.com or give us a call at 610-439-8000.
Mortgage America is equal housing lender, NMLS 128501.
I'm Tom Tool of the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Main Line. If you're thinking of becoming a real estate agent in the greater Philly area, I have a special offer for you. Our team did $165 million of volume in 2021, making us the number one RE/MAX team in Pennsylvania and a top 1% team nationally. Our agents love us because we offer them a successful career, a great life, and an unbeatable culture. Agents who've been with us for at least a year average 30-plus sales. Even our brand-new agents average 17 to 24 sales a year. We offer proven systems and expert training. We help you set more appointments and sell more houses. Now here's the offer. If you don't have a real estate license yet, we offer real estate scholarships so you can get one for free. Check it out at realestatescholarshipprogram.com or visit the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline at tomtool.com. That's Tom, Tool with an E.com. Get more out of your real estate career and remember the real estate golden rule. You always get more when you work with Tom Tool.
When you're getting a mortgage, you shouldn't have to sacrifice great service just to get a great rate. At Mortgage America, we've been lending with this philosophy for over 35 years. We have access to great low rates without the complications and delays of big or online banks. We're a local Pennsylvania lender with loan officers that you can actually meet. As PHFA's number one lender, we specialize in all residential mortgage programs, including first-time buyer programs and low down payment options. For your free pre-approval, call us at 610-439-8000 or apply online at mymortgageamerica.com.
Mortgage America is equal housing lender, NMLS 128501.
Have you considered a career in real estate? Do you want control over your income? Whether you have a license or not, call us today at 610-692-6976 or visit tomtool.com. Join our team, the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline.
All right, all right. Welcome back to Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Tom Tool. She's Sarah Timon. We both work at the Tom Tool Sales Group at RE/MAX Mainline, the number one RE/MAX team in Pennsylvania since 2018. And we are talking about the biggest turkeys of 2024. So we got some fun ones here. The biggest real estate one, I think we've got a unanimous decision here, right?
So. Sure.
What's your guess on the... We didn't really prep for this, so what's your guess on the unanimous decisions there?
NAR.
NAR. So tell me more. Why NAR?
Throughout the course of 2024, they have time and time again done dumb stuff.
It's like one of those things where you couldn't think it could get any worse.
Right.
And then it gets extremely worse. Like,
yeah.
I mean, so they fumble this lawsuit badly. Like, I mean, and we don't need to get into all that. It's getting settled today. Then... they have these expense reports come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you imagine getting a non-for-profit to pay for the dog sitter for Lou?
No.
Like, it's allowance, right?
Right.
I mean, like, hey, you can pay for my lease. You can walk my dog wags, rent out my second home.
Right.
My pied-a-terre in Chicago. Like, you got to be
kidding
me.
On top of making, like, a ridiculous amount of money.
$2.6 million.
Right. Like, you should be able to buy those things with your $2.6 million.
So Bob Goldberg is right at the top of this list. So if you say, let's take the $2.6 million that he was getting paid at the end. The average agent makes right around $38,000 a year. That's the equivalent of 98,800 real estate agents. And they are funding his salary. Now, if you look at it from this perspective, it's $2.6 million. And you divide it by the annual dues, it's what, like $500 goes to NAR?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So let's call it $500. Let me do the math here appropriately, or I'll be the biggest turkey. That's 5,200 paying agents of the 1.5 million. So it's insane to me this goes on. They had horrible treatment of employees and a toxic work culture when it comes to, you know, treating women a certain way and whatever else goes on with their former president. I don't know how it can get any worse.
I bet they'll find a way to.
I hope they don't for our sake, but I also don't like it. It'd be fun to talk about. I don't know if it's going to be good for NAR, but that is easily the biggest real estate. Like there was some, like, I don't even think there was anyone close when it came to real estate.
Yeah.
But you got another one. I love this one. This might be the biggest local turkey of the year. So lay it on us here, Sarah. Who's your biggest turkey?
My biggest turkey is Joe Shane, the GM of the New York Giants, letting go of Saquon Barkley.
So tell us more about this. I am impressed. Like, you're not a huge sports fan, like, full disclosure, right? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, like, I watch, but I'm not, like, up to date on, like,
yes,
everything.
But, like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
So tell us more. Like, what's your thought process behind this?
So I guess people got to know more about this than... normally they would have because of Hard Knocks,
sure.
You know, this year. So I think it was recorded, some of the negotiations going back and forth. And ultimately, they didn't want to pay. They didn't want to pay for him. And that was really dumb because he's killing it.
Yeah. He is having like the one of the best Eagles running back season ever. What I love about this is if you watch the Hard Knocks clip, I'm going to be really upset if he signs with the Eagles. And guess what happened? And he signed with the Eagles. And then they chose their quarterback, Daniel Jones, who they just cut. I don't know if you know this part. This guy like signed some huge contract. He's gone. He's done. And it's like you couldn't have.
Yeah.
They pulled an NAR. They pulled an NAR
in the
NFL offseason. So I'm actually pretty excited about that one because the Eagles got me pumped up. I'm looking forward to watching some football hopefully into February. That's a great turkey,
yeah,
Sarah.
Yeah, it's turned into great news for us.
Great news for sure. So awesome stuff. So I've got one more. And, you know, and this one is, so I wanted to come up with something for like pop culture. And there's been a lot of those this year.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Puff Daddy. Like, how?
Oh my God! Yeah,
the stories that went on, and it's actually pretty interesting because I do this like workout Saturday mornings, and one of the guys there is an FBI agent,
ooh,
and he's like, "Have you heard this stuff about Puff Daddy?" And I'm like, "Tell me what you know." I can't say anything that he told me or he didn't tell me, but the fact that people like that are talking about this,
right?
Like, it is insane what went on, and it's how do you keep that quiet? If you're someone like him, like there's obviously a lot of people involved.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of the Epstein stuff that happened a couple years ago. Like my wife, Bridget, I don't know if you watch these documentaries. She loves this stuff. Like she watched the Epstein documentary.
I watched that.
So it's incredible to me how this was kept quiet.
Yeah.
For
how
all
like
this time.
Layered it is and how, right. Like how, yeah, that they managed to keep a lid on it for as long as they did.
Well, did you see the pictures from the raid at his place in New York?
Is that where they found like what? Over 1,000 bottles of baby oil.
Yes, in the bathroom. Like it's like. I mean, this is insane to me. This goes on in today's culture. So that was easily pop culture's.
That is a good one.
Biggest turkey. So I have some honorable mentions too. Tell me what you think of these. So, for pop culture, Blake Lively. So apparently she did a film adaptation of It Ends With Us and. And when she was promoting it, all she talked about was her hair care line during interviews. It Ends With Us is like, it's a pretty serious movie about like domestic violence and generational trauma. She's talking about hair care lines. I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know. That was interesting. Katy Perry, I didn't really agree with this one. Apparently, she had a comeback attempt with some album. I mean, did you know that she had a new album this year?
No.
I listen to, like, we watch, like, cartoons at my house. I don't know about you.
Right.
I don't know. I'm guessing you might be in that phase yourself. It was labeled as generic. I like Katy Perry. I don't like that one. There were some other real estate ones. And there was actually a business one I want to hit on. Elon Musk. So he bought X, formerly Twitter. So tell me what you think about this. So him and his co-investors, they bought it for $33.5 billion and it depreciated by 72%, and the platform's value is now worth $9.38 billion.
Yeah, that's not great.
I mean, he was giving out $1 million checks during the campaign. Like, I've obviously got money to spare, but
right,
that was probably overvalued too. And I know he kind of got in some trouble when he agreed to buy that. So I think that might have been part of the problem. In real estate, and we've got we're not going to bring up any political ones. That's just a disaster waiting to happen. I think we can both agree on that. In real estate, they talked about the bank the Chinese corporation Evergrande Group. It was the largest property developer. They had to liquidate in January. They had $2.43 trillion with a T yuan, which is a $340 billion, and they had to liquidate it all. And it was the biggest collapse in a global real estate sector ever. That was pretty shocking to me. How did that not make the news? Like, I mean, people aren't even talking about this.
Wait, that was January of 2024?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about that on the
I think the
show,
collapse was happening, and then they like came up with a deal with the government. I didn't know they had to liquidate everything.
Yeah.
U.S. banks' exposure to real estate losses. They apparently have an exposure for real estate-related securities that are $750 billion in Q3 of 2024. Mm-hmm. Like another thing that went under the radar.
Yeah.
We're pretty plugged in here. This one's interesting. Ken Griffin. So he's a billionaire hedge fund manager, and he sold the top two floors of Chicago's number 9 Walton condo tower for $19 million, a 44% loss from the $34 million he paid in 2017. That's a lot of money to lose.
Yeah.
I like your biggest turkey. hands down. Number one, the New York Giants GM. NAR, you take the cake. Nothing can beat what NAR did.
Well, yeah.
That's what we got. Everyone have a happy Thanksgiving. You want to follow Sarah, she's at Ty_TyTime on Instagram. You can follow me at TomTool3RD. And I'll be back next week. Sarah will be here in 2 weeks on Tool Time Real Estate Radio on WWDB 860 AM.
Depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart. Well, John, the stage is set for the final transaction.
That's right, Joe. Heather's moment has arrived, and you just hope all that training pays off.
Heather lays down her purchase, but Randy rings it up as slowly as he can.
He is a wily veteran.
It gives Heather's eyes the chance to wander.
Uh-oh.
Yep, she's looking at the cigarettes.
There's nothing good back there. Quit now, and in 5 years, your odds of getting certain cancers drop 50%.
Meanwhile, Randy's stone-faced. He's giving nothing away. He just stands there, wetting his cashier's finger on that sponge.
Heather toes the rubber.
Here we go. Heather's arm is in motion. But instead of pointing at the back wall, she just grabs the gum off the counter.
That's a slick move.
Heather, back, back, back. She is out of there. Even Randy tips his cap to Heather. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally wants you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
It's pouring rain. It's real dark outside. Your heart starts beating really, really fast. You've never done anything so hard in your life. This is boot camp. This is the real thing now. It's such extreme pain, you don't understand how you can finish. I began to feel that there was no way I was ever going to have my title, U.S. Marine. It takes special inner strength, courage, and desire to do this. I was just thinking, I'm so close. I'm so close. And when I finished, I was like, I'm done. I did it. The moment I will never forget is when this drill instructor that I admire so much comes up to me straight in front of me, put her arm on my shoulder and said, good morning, Marine.
PFC Summer Volkman became a Marine. Can you? Visit Marines.com or call 1-800-MARINES. The few, the proud, the Marines.
In 2007, Marine First Lieutenant Travis Manion was killed in Iraq after saving his wounded teammates. Travis's legacy lives on through the five words he spoke before leaving for his final deployment. If not me, then who? Words that today fuel the spirit of Travis Mannion Foundation. Words that live in veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians who go out of their way to find a way, who help others with the help of others, who bounce back after each setback, who make good on good intentions. Through Travis Mannion Foundation, if not me, then who, are words that can live in you too. Show the world what your character is made of, because character is invisible until it's not. Find out how you can strengthen the character of your community alongside empowered veterans, families of the fallen, and inspired civilians at TravisMannion.org. That's TravisMannion.org.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers,